Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen. You can write to me at bruce@brucesalen.com. And I hope you'll like the A Dad's Point of View page. We're about 100 likes away from 5,000. It's time for Spiritual Wrap with Pastor Drew Sams, who is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
I love it. I look forward to our segments all the time because I can use some spiritual uplifting now and then, as I'm sure our listeners can as well. But first, let's start with our health and welfare of baby Drew.
Well, he is now a year and a week old. It's amazing. He's still not walking. He's getting so close.
It's just a matter of days or months. Yeah.
We're clocking him, though. I think he can stand still for about 10 seconds. But it's so funny. I mean, it's like this modern day, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, walks out on water, and then when he realizes what he's doing, he starts to sink. So Judah, my son, will hold on to a toy, and he'll let go of the wall, and he'll stand there staring at this toy, and then all of a sudden he looks up and realizes that he's got nothing to hold on to, and then he sits down.
Oh, the plop down is the most adorable thing when they plop down from that position. You got to put up a video of that.
I will. It's so fun. So fun.
It's because, you know, they're only plopping down, what, 8 inches?
8 inches, yeah. But the look on his face as he drops that distance is classic.
It really is. I'm just picturing it now. Very good. Well, I'm glad he's well and into his second year of life in the Sam's household. So, what would you like to talk about today? Death and divorce, I gather.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got the choice with both those
columns
that came up this week, and I just want to just for 10 seconds say that the column that Dr. Lieberman or Weberman contributed to, I thought was fantastic. So,
Thank you. Though
I'm not choosing that one, I thought it was so valuable and some great resources there. But yeah, let's talk about this, death and divorce and the questions that come up
that possibly
shouldn't come up. You know, it's so true. I've experienced as a pastor, so almost 10 years now, I've been a pastor, 8 of those at Calvary Community Church. And as you can imagine, I'm often around families going through death and divorce. I'd say it's almost a weekly occurrence. And
especially at a church your size.
Oh, especially, yeah. And so, you know, think about how tough that is. I mean, people know what it's like to enter into a situation where somebody has just lost a loved one, or they're going through, you know, a really messy divorce. I don't know if there's any really clean divorces. They're all pretty messy. And I understand those questions because I think that people...
Well, but let me stop you for a minute. For those that haven't read the column is my belief that there's two questions we ask, one about death, one about divorce, that need to go. That people ask them, and I think they don't really think about how they're being received. The first question upon learning that someone has died is, well, how old was he or she? And what we're looking for, usually, is to find out that they were really old, so we can say something like, well, at least they lived a long life. And obviously, if we know it's a child, it's much more tragic. But the truth of the matter is, when my parents died at 89 and 90, I was just as heartbroken as if they had died younger. So there's no solace in hearing from somebody, oh, well, at least they had a long life. That's my opinion. That's question number one that I think should go. And in its place is like, what can I do to help you? What do you need? Is there anything, you know, I can do? That's, to me, a better question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the common question when you get divorced and there's children is people say something like, well, at least you got these wonderful children. And my thinking is bullpucky. Yes, I could have had wonderful children with a husband or wife that stayed around. You know, of course I have these wonderful children, but that's not comforting. So those are the two questions.
Yeah, so I think about those two questions culturally. I think they've become very pervasive. A lot of people, that's why you wrote this column, because I think you hear it so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think culturally what we try to do in moments of tragedy or of loss or of pain, even beyond death and divorce, what we try to do is I think we try to minimize
the
pain.
Yes, that's a good point.
And I think that there, especially for us as we come from a background of faith, as I look at Scripture, a different approach than minimizing pain is to find hope or a new perspective in the midst of pain. And I think that when you say to somebody, which you recommended, how can I help? What can I do? Boy, I have no answers other than I'm here for you. That's not minimizing the pain. It's letting somebody know that, hey, you're not in this alone, and that gives hope.
Exactly.
That gives a new perspective.
You know, one of the things that I also referenced in the column, when I was getting divorced and the mother of my boys left, leaving me alone with the boys, what I really would have loved is for any one of our so-called family friends to invite us over for a meal.
Hmm.
I didn't need to hear about how lousy it was that my soon-to-be ex-wife left. I knew that. I mean, we were equally unhappy with each other, so I wasn't heartbroken about her leaving. I was just scared to death about what was going on, and I had two very emotionally charged and scarred boys at the time. And nobody invited us over that entire summer after we got separated. And I thought, wow, that's what I need.
Hmm. Would you have preferred people to invite you over individually or as a couple, or would it have mattered?
Wait. I wasn't a couple, so what do you mean? I'm
well,
not sure what you mean.
Well, when you said invite us over, did you
I
mean...
I meant the boys.
Okay,
I meant the boys.
Gotcha.
Me and the boys.
Yeah. I misunderstood you there, because thinking you'd really want them to invite you over, but I understand. So just having someone's presence in your life would have been so healing, so encouraging. Yeah, I think that as humans, understandably, we try to minimize pain in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're around somebody else, I think we try to minimize pain in their life. I think with noble, maybe outward intentions, but I think on the inside, it's because we're really uncomfortable when we're around somebody else going through pain.
Yes.
And so when we
yes.
minimize somebody else's pain, that it minimizes our pain, our uncomfortability.
And how often do we say to ourselves, you know, I got to call Bruce. You know, I know he's probably going through a hard time, and then you don't.
Yes, because to truly carry the burden of somebody else, which compassion is, you're entering into their suffering, you're entering into their pain, you're not standing away and above from it, but you're actually stepping down into it. That takes, boy, a lot of patience, a lot of other person-centeredness, you know, and that's rare.
You know, sadly, we're out of time. Do you have anything from scriptures you want to quickly quote?
Boy, well, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that talks about, it's a prayer that one of the apostles prays. He says, and I pray that the God of all compassion and comfort will comfort you in your time of trouble so that you can extend compassion and comfort to others when they need help.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, thank you. On that note, I'll bid you adieu. I won't ask where you're not blogging at present, but I will ask, when am I going to get my blog about the first year of
yes,
baby
Yes, I'm working
Drew?
On it. You're going to be so excited when
Good.
You see this.
Good. Well, thank you, Pastor Drew. We'll talk with you next week.
Wonderful.
Stay
Have
tuned.
A great-
thank you. Stay tuned for Therapy Rep with Dr. Jennifer Weberman.